Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
What is Israel going to do about yesterday's ballistic missile attack from Iran, and when are they going to do it? Welcome over to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Today, we're going to be discussing that along with a heck of a lot more because we learned a lot of lessons yesterday about Iran, the IRGC, Hezbollah, Hamas, and all of their combined capabilities. Currently up on your screen is a view of the ballistic missiles being launched from Iran. This is actually being filmed from a commercial airliner. Now, typically, commercial airliners fly about 37-ish thousand feet, give or take, okay? But most of the time, they're up in the sky about that high. Now, look at the speed that those ballistic missiles are flying at. They're easily passing that commercial airliner, even at that elevated altitude. So Israel had only about 12 minutes from the time these ballistic missiles were launched until they ended up reaching Israeli territory. This morning, during a press briefing on Twitter, the IDF spokesperson ended up coming out and saying that the U.S. did, in fact, warn Israel ahead of time of the ballistic missiles being launched from Iran. But prior to Iran's ballistic missile launch, this POS went on a freaking shooting rampage over inside of Israel. Last figure I heard was that he killed 8 people and wounded scores more. Additionally, Hezbollah ended up launching a massive rocket barrage around the same time. It originated in Lebanon and ended up going all the way down into Israel. Then a couple minutes later, we end up getting reports the ballistic missiles are on their way. So what does that tell us? Well, that tells us that the Israeli airstrikes, like the one up on your screen that you see here, of the one that they ended up taking out Hezbollah's commander, Nasrallah, didn't really do that good of a job affecting Hezbollah's communication channels, at least in the long term. Hezbollah has actually been able to elect, but they have picked their new commander and he is currently running operations. Now, additionally, Israeli forces have conducted numerous more airstrikes over inside of Beirut and also inside of Syria. Israel really has done a good job taking out Hezbollah's chain of command. You can go ahead and put an X right over top of Nasrallah right there. Now they've got a new commander in place. But at the end of the day, they've been dismantling Hezbollah's command structure, and they've been going after the IRGC as well. As a matter of fact, when those pagers went off over inside of Lebanon, the Iranian foreign minister actually had one blow in his face, taking out his dang eyeballs to the extent that he had to get flown back to Iran in order to get surgery to try to help his sorry butt out. Additionally, Israel has conducted airstrikes in and around, all right, the Middle East, focusing on Lebanon and Syria, taking out not only members of Hezbollah, Hamas, the IRGC, just like all of these other people that are over there, but they've focused also on the IRGC. As a matter of fact, they've done it to the extent that they actually made the Ayatollah bawl his eyeballs out yesterday via a Twitter post around the same time that they ended up launching that ballistic missile attack. He said the brave, knowledgeable Brigadier General Abbas Nilfarashan has joined God following the militia Zionist regime's attacks on Beirut's Dahiya neighborhood. May divine mercy and the greetings of God and those closest to him be upon this mushadid on the path of God. Clearly, the Ayatollah's decision to unleash the IRGC and the ballistic missile attack up over on Israel yesterday was definitely motivated by all of these IRGC commanders being targeted by Israel. As a matter of fact, just the day before yesterday, Israel targeted another IRGC convoy, leaving the Iranian embassy in Syria, taking out senior Hezbollah commander and an IRGC officer, in addition to a Syrian journalist. The very next day is when the Ayatollah decided to respond. That means Israel is doing a good job pissing them off. I can't make that any more clear. But was it actually effective what they did? That really is the question. And the answer is no, in my opinion, it wasn't. And I'm going to explain why. First, let's start off here with this shooter. So what do we know about him? Well, not a heck of a lot at this moment in time. But what we do know is that the IRGC, number one, was able to communicate with Hamas. How do we know that? Because Hamas claimed responsibility for this attack today. Now, they could just be blowing smoke up everybody's butt claiming responsibility for this attack, but I tend to believe them because if you look at the particular weapon system that this gentleman is using, it is an M4A4 with an ACOG and a polymer mag that is double stacked. That more than likely came from either the October 7th attacks and it became captured equipment that Hamas held onto, or it came from a dead IDF service member inside Gaza that they managed to smuggle out over time. They are definitely sending a message by using this weapon in yesterday's attack. There is no way for Israel to be able to deny that Hamas was directly involved because of the weapon that he was using. Does that make sense now? Everybody pay attention because here we're going to go. That means that Hamas, particularly this shooter, was being tasked by Hamas and at the same time by the IRGC to conduct this attack at that said moment in time. Now, he might have been a little bit too quick, but I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking within a reasonable time frame for somebody of this age to actually be carrying out that coordinated of an attack in conjunction with Hezbollah. Why do I say that Hezbollah has good lines of communication? Because at about the same time that this was going down, those Hezbollah rockets were also falling on Israel, i.e. the IRGC still has not only good lines of communication with upper echelons of Hezbollah, additionally, Hezbollah still has good lines of communication all the way down to the ground level, and they are mostly secure because I don't think the IDF was able to pick up on all that. Period. End of discussion. Now, what is the most secure way to communicate across the battlefield? It's a runner, the same exact way they've been doing it over time. So it is possible that Hezbollah has been passing messages along via runners, right? Or there's also standard things like voice over internet. I think it's a very simple thing that people do, i.e. they pick up a phone and call their buddies over the internet. A little bit easier for the IDF to be able to pick up on, but at the same time, it's a little bit harder for them to locate when we start adding other security measures in place, which I'm sure the IRGC is helping them out with. But we know that Hezbollah had decent enough coordination with the IRGC to be able to launch this attack at the appropriate time along with that Hamas fighter. Additionally, they have good lines of communication amongst the ground units because they were able to coordinate this attack on Israel yesterday. Now, this is a little bit older footage of a Hezbollah rocket attack. Either way, you get the idea. The other thing that we can learn from this is that not only has Israel failed to disrupt the lines of communication in between the IRGC, Hezbollah, and Hamas, further, they have failed to actually affect the threat that northern Israel faces from all of these Hezbollah rocket attacks. Now, just the day before yesterday, when Israel ended up going into Lebanon, they said that it was going to be on a very limited basis because they were worried about cross-border attacks and or raids into Israeli territory, taking hostages and killing Israeli civilians before they freaking flee back to the other side of the border into Lebanon. Because of that, they launched a limited ground incursion over into Lebanon. So what do I think the Israelis are going to do about it? Well, we're going to start in three different locations. We're going to talk about Israel, the West Bank. Then we're going to go up and start talking about Lebanon and Syria. And then finally, we're going to go fizz it up with Iran and or Iraq. So pay attention, ladies and gentlemen, because it's about to get real. I do believe that Israeli special forces and intelligence units are going to start going hard and heavy over inside of the West Bank to go after Hamas operatives and members of the IRGC and any other terror organization that are over there. I know they've been conducting operations in Jenin and several other areas throughout the West Bank. This is a famous attack where Israeli SAF, or I forget who exactly it was in this one, but look, they have that ability in order to do these style attacks. So I really do think that Israel is going to start focusing on those terror networks over there to start taking them out. So number one, that's what they're going to be focusing on. I guarantee you right now, Israeli intelligence is tracking down that particular threat inside of both the West Bank and inside of Israel. That is more than likely where the shooters ended up coming out from. They couldn't have possibly came out of Gaza. I mean, it's a very, very, very small possibility that they could have, but I really don't think that's the case when you have easier access through the West Bank and plus just commercial airliners and several other ways. Plus the IRGC could simply recruit a Hamas fighter and pass him off freaking weapons and equipment, encourage him to go over and make that attack. Doesn't really make sense to try to risk an operation of this size out of Gaza. No. You'd want to do that from either Israel or the West Bank. Additionally, you're going to start seeing more headlines like this over inside of Syria. Why do I say that? Now, this one says 3 civilians killed in Israeli airstrike on Damascus, blah, 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 blah. Came out from September 30th. Look, at the end of the day, Israel is going to start going in hard and heavy into Syria, hunting down these IRGC commanders. They're going to be going after them hot and heavy. That means lots of airstrikes, and likely we're going to start seeing more cross-border raids like Israel did just the other day when they had gone into Syria in order to target a chemical processing facility. And also reported throughout that attack, or excuse me, through those raids, was that they ended up taking a couple different IRGC officers, EPW, or enemy prisoners of war, and they flew their butts back into Israel. I would not be surprised if we see more attacks like that taking place over inside of Syria. Now, when it comes to Lebanon, I expect those limited operations to actually turn into a little bit more long duration operations over inside of Lebanon. Now, here's why. Over the first day of Israeli operations inside Lebanon, there was no casualties reported. There was a couple different firefights and things like that across the front line. But today we're getting numerous reports of mass casualty events from the IDF taking place inside of Lebanon. Now, the reason for that is because Hezbollah likely ended up pulling back and reconsolidating into better defensive positions, waiting on the IDF to come in there. All of the artillery and airstrikes the IDF was launching beforehand likely had a pretty decent effect off of those ground units over by the Lebanese border. And because of that, they probably fell back to these more defensible positions, and they were able to consolidate and reorganize and wait for the IDF to approach them in order to ambush them. With that being said, all of the different rocket barrages and things like that that have originated out of Lebanon tells us that they haven't destroyed even a touch of their ammunition supply, which is stored down inside tunnels amongst other locations. So if the IDF wants to meet their primary objective inside Lebanon, which is to ensure the citizens of Israel can like return to the north safely and for a long duration of time, well, Israel's going to have to remain inside of Lebanon, and they're going to have to push deeper and harder up against Hezbollah. But what about these guys? What the heck is Israel going to do about them, the main perpetrators behind everything that's currently taking place over inside Israel? Well, I have absolutely no doubt that with that new statement coming out from the IDF and Israel, that they are absolutely going to be going after senior IRGC officers, if not in Iran, definitely inside of Iraq and Syria. Now, hear me out. Listen to this crap. When those pagers started detonating on the IRGC, the Iranian foreign minister, and members of Hezbollah just the other week, we learned a lot. We learned that Israel had been watching those pagers for a very long period of time, like several months. Now, during those several months, what do you think the odds are that the Iranian foreign minister and senior members of the IRGC actually flew back to Iran holding on to those pagers? It is undoubtable that Israel was smart enough to put in GPS tracking into those pagers and into those radios. That means that those IRGC commanders, as well as the foreign minister's locations, would have been transmitted all the way back over to Israel, unless there was some really sophisticated jamming equipment going on at some of these IRGC and Hezbollah locations. Either way, it would be enough for Israel to be able to zero in on those locations. Now, through using intelligence assets on the ground, Israel is going to be able to start confirming the locations of some of these commanders. It is my belief that once these IRGC commanders' locations are actually confirmed by intelligence assets on the ground, that Israel is then going to be launching airstrikes on those IRGC commanders. They're not going to be able to get every single one of them, but what they will be able to do, what they will be able to do is at least coordinate it to be able to get at least a good handful of them at one period of time inside of Iran, giving them a decent black eye. But the other problem that we just ended up learning is that Israel also said that the full decision hasn't been made yet, and that U.S. political considerations will be part of the decision making. So what the heck do you think U.S. political considerations mean? Well, that means that if they ended up opening up a broader scale war over inside of the Middle East, that the U.S. might not be willing to provide them bombs for their ongoing operation inside of Lebanon, Gaza, the West Bank, and Syria. And if they get into it with Iran, they're going to need additional munitions from the United States of America, whether you like it or not. It's just a fact. That is the leverage that the U.S. has over Israel. So if the U.S. says, if you do this and you attack on Iran proper, we won't be giving you munitions, Israel has two choices: either to call them on their bluff, because this current administration has already stated that they have ironclad support for Israel and that they defend Israel's right to self-defense against any of the external and or internal threats that Israel faces. They said that yesterday, for crying out loud. So if United States ends up cutting off supplies to Israel, they're going to look like a bunch of jackwagons on the international community, again turning the U.S. into a laughingstock. Unfortunately for the United States and the entire Middle Eastern region, I think Israel has pretty much lost all of their patience when it comes to United States politics. They've been calling for peace deals and hostage negotiations for several, like ever since the start of this dang thing, if we're being perfectly honest. And even over on the White House website the other day, when information about Israel going into Lebanon was released, the White House ended up releasing a statement calling for peace between Lebanon and Israel. Our own White House doesn't even understand that Israel is going to war with Hezbollah because Hezbollah continues to attack Israel. How frustrating is that? In addition to the fact that the reports are coming out that U.S. officials actually leaked the information ahead of time to mainstream media, telegraphing that the IDF was about to launch an operation into Lebanon on ground. If any U.S. official had actually leaked information of the U.S. about to cross a border and go attack a freaking terrorist organization, they would be put up for treason. Israel cannot be satisfied with that. Absolutely not. So I think Israel is a little bit pissed off at the United States, and that gives them a very good reason to basically shove up the middle finger to the U.S. and be like, too bad, you're supposed to be behind me. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'll see you guys later on tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Make sure that you like, follow, and subscribe to this channel. Ladies and gentlemen, peace, love, happiness, and God bless. I am out of here.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.